This morning, what a blessing it is to get together and to open up God's Word together. This morning's teaching is entitled, The God of All Comfort. We've looked at the peace of God. We've looked at other things. We looked at God being our help, our helper. And this morning, we're going to look at our God being the God of all comfort. So, if you would turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll see where this is mentioned about our God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. When we think of God, He's our help, but yes, He is our comfort. And in the beginning of this wonderful book here, chapter 1, we'll look at verse 3, and it says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, that tender, compassionate mercy of God. That is our God. And what we're looking at this morning is just one aspect of God's comfort. About His Word, about how He gives us promises. When we remember, we are comforted. When we trust, we are comforted. When we hope, we are comforted. And stay right in the New Testament. Go back a book to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We'll see a little bit more about this God of all comfort, this Father of mercies. He has given us this Word of God. Have you ever had somebody say, I need to be comforted? Have you ever said that yourself? I need to be comforted. And where would we go for that comfort? Have you ever been comforted in prayer with God? Have you ever been comforted in the Word of God? Remember, the Word of God is filled with His promises. And politicians will use the phrase, promises made, promises kept. Well, with God, promises made is as sure as a promise kept. He always keeps His promises, always. And here it says in verse 4, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning or for our doctrine or for our teaching, that we through patience and comfort of the what? The Scriptures might have hope. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And then verse 5 says, Now the God of patience and consolation. Do you see that word consolation in the King James there? It's the same. The Greek word for that is the same one that is used in the previous verse for comfort. So the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see in many of these verses talking about God being a comfort, God of all comfort. You also see Him, and one of the great comforts is He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll also see the concept of hope come up in the verses with comfort. Because when you have hope, you have comfort. When we have hope for something, and hope is basically the word means an expectation. when we have an expectation. When we have expectations in the world, we may or may not be disappointed. But when we have expectations about God and His promises, we will never be disappointed. And we will be comforted. And we can have that hope as a comfort. I thought we would look at a few places in the Psalms today. It's a great place to be comforted. You know how it said in Romans 15 there, those things which were written aforetime? Well, the Old Testament was written aforetime. And those wonderful verses, those wonderful sections in the Old Testament where we see our God on display to give us a comfort in our heart. Remember, as we remember His promises, the promises that He has brought to pass, as we remember His judgments as being true and faithful, we have comfort. When we trust in our God as our sufficiency, as our stay, as our support, as our aid, as our assistance, we have comfort. When we hope, when we put our hope in Him, it gives us comfort. When we put our hope in God, it's a comfort because we know it will come to pass. Those promises. And we're going to look at a section in the biggest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we'll be looking, starting at verse 49. The Word of God is mentioned in all the verses in this wonderful psalm and the importance of it. But we're going to be looking at comfort specifically and what His Word is to the psalmist as he writes this. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Who's he saying this? Who's the psalmist saying this to? Take a good look at that verse. Who's the psalmist saying this to? He's saying it to God. When we pray, a great thing to pray is what His Word says. We know His Word will come to pass. We know He is a faithful God. Just like we sang today, great is thy faithfulness. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And of course, King James English, quicken means to make alive or give life. The word hath quickened me. The word hath given me life. I'd like to read this from a couple different versions. The CSB. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise has given me life. The ESV. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. If you just look at the Hebrew word there, that's translated in the King James as word, you can say, well, how do we get the word promise in there? But if you look at the context of what it's being said, he says in verse 49, the psalmist is praying and he's seeking to hold on to God's word in his prayers, especially in the times of difficulty. He's expressing to God his hope and his reliance on God's faithfulness. When God gives us His word, His word is a promise. It's a promise unto us in situations in life. And you can easily see how when God has promised, He's given His word to the psalmist in verse 49, that when we read verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word, the word that you promised me, thy promise hath given me life. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. Verse 52, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. I have remembered thy judgments of old. I remember your word. I remember the promises that you made that you brought to pass. I trust in you because you are a faithful God. I am comforted in my heart knowing that I have hope that your promises shall come to pass in the future. We remember, we trust, and we have hope that gives us a comfort. It gives us a comfort today. Things where we have seen God's word come to pass. Did God send a Savior? Yeah, he did. Did God have that Savior sacrifice for all of mankind's sin? Yeah, he did. Did God prophesy in his word about things to come in the Old Testament that did come, that we read about in the New Testament? Yes, he did. So when we read in God's word about the things which he shall do, which he has promised, the comfort is not in the future. The comfort is now. The comfort that we have is now about those promises that God has made in the future. We remember, we trust, and we have hope. That gives us comfort now. Stay right in the same psalm. Just go a few verses ahead to verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness, or thy loving kindness, be for my comfort, according to thy word, unto thy servant. And once again, many versions will translate, according to your promises, unto thy servant. God's word is sure. Especially the promises that you and I have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The gospel of grace. The gospel of God concerning his son Jesus Christ. It's a promise. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we were just there, but a little further on in that chapter, it talks about, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. What that means is those promises which God has given unto us in Christ Jesus, there's no debate. There's no debate. It's yea, there's no nay, and amen. Let it be so. That's the promises that you and I have in Christ. When we look at those promises, we look at what we have been given because of the promises of God that God has kept. Do we have salvation? Do we have eternal life? Have we been saved from the just wrath of God because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's sacrifice? Those promises have been kept, and we can have great comfort in that. Do you have comfort in your heart, knowing that your sins have been taken care of by Jesus Christ? In the days to come, it will be more apparent what we've been saved from. And it will be the just wrath of God. We will have been saved from the wrath to come because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was a promise that God kept. A promise initiated back in Genesis 3 about the coming one, the promised seed. The promised seed was promised and he came. And he accomplished that which he was sent to do, his purpose and his mission. What a comfort in knowing that those promises were made and those promises were kept. Does it give you a comfort, and does it give you the initiative in your heart to throw your trust down on God's promises that he says shall happen in the future? We get great comfort from what God's promised to us and what God has said unto us. We remember his promises. We remember his promises that he kept and that he keeps and that he will keep. That he will bring to pass. Stay right in the book of Psalms. And let's go back to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. To have comfort in this day and time when things seem so hard to assimilate into your mind. When the world is saying, well, see this? This is true. And you know in your heart of heart that it's not true. What does that do to a human being? It affects them. Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and in verse 15. This verse gives me great comfort, as I'm sure it did the psalmist as well. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. My times are in thy hands. Our life is in his hands. The life we have lived, the life we're living right now, and the future that we have are in his hands. My times are in your hands. Oh God, is that a comfort for us to have in our heart, to know that our times are in his hand? Can you think of anyone else you would like to have your times, your life, to be in the hands of? But God is righteous, God is just, God is loving, God is all light. In him is no darkness. God doesn't change. He stays the same. There's no shadow of turning with our God. And what he says, he means. And what he means, he says. And he gives us this. And his track record is impeccable. So when we think about his faithfulness, it's a comfort to us. As we read his word, we read what he has done. How he was faithful then. He's faithful now. And he's going to be faithful in the future. So no matter what comes our way, no matter what shows up on the horizon, God is faithful. God is faithful. Our times are in his hand. Our entire life, our past, our present, and our future, right there. Isn't it nice to know that our life is not in the hands of blind fate or chance? You hear people talk about their lives, well, that's the roll of the dice. Not so much. If you really believe that, would there be much comfort in knowing that it's blind chance? No. That would give me great sources of anxiousness and discomfort. Discomfort. But our hands are in the hands of a faithful, merciful, heavenly Father who loves us. We sang, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us this morning. We sing it when we partake of communion. We're going to go to the psalm where that came from. It's a psalm that many people have memorized, but don't let our memorization of the psalm plug our ears as we go through it this morning. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And to see the comfort that's in this psalm, this simple psalm, this beautiful psalm, Before we address this psalm, I would like to point out the position of this psalm in the Word. It's positioned between Psalm 22 and the cross and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and Psalm 24, which talks about the King of Glory. It's positioned right in the middle. When you think about life, for the Christian, we're positioned after the cross, and we're positioned with a future glory to come. So we read this Psalm 23 in light of its position. It's pretty exciting. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Do you see the analogy of the sheep and the shepherd? Do you know why the sheep follow the shepherd? Because of his track record. Where the shepherd leads the sheep, well, there's been food. In the past, there's been food. It'd be foolish for me being a sheep to think that he's not going to lead me to food again. Beside the still waters. I've read that sheep do not like to drink out of moving water. He leads me beside the still waters. The waters that I can drink, that I want to drink. He knows me. He knows I'm a sheep. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How can I be comforted? How can I be comforted in a situation that's so stark and so gloomy that it's described as the valley of the shadow of death? Because he's with me. He's with me. The shepherd is with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. The rod and the staff is signified the power and the authority and the protection and the guidance that a shepherd gives. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And when we think about God, and we think about him comforting us, and you think about his power and his authority and his protection and his ability and his guidance, if he's going to guide us, what did it say? He's going to guide us down the path of righteousness. Isn't that something? He won't lead you astray. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. It doesn't say he's preparing a table before me that the enemies are partaking in. He says he's preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And you and I know that in this day and time, as Christians, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. God prepares for us a table in the presence of our enemies. There is usefulness of this psalm today as we live our lives. Anointest my head with oil. The anointing with oil had things in the Old Testament about anointing for authority or anointing kings and stuff, but it also had anointing your head with oil as a show of hospitality and care and abundance. Do you remember in the Gospels when Jesus goes to dinner with the one Pharisee and then the woman, the sinner, washed his feet with her hair, anointed his feet with costly oil, with costly fragrance. Jesus Christ chastised that Pharisee. He said, "You didn't wash my feet. You didn't do nothing. You didn't anoint my head with oil. She anointed my feet with the oil. She cleaned my feet with her hair." So when it says you anointed my head with oil, it's an abundance. It's a blessing. "And my cup runneth over." And then here's where the key words of the song that we sing quite often. Verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When we look at our lives and the comfort that we have, knowing that we don't have to figure everything out, that God is our God, and He's a God of great power and abundance and authority, and when He leads us, like we say, He leadeth me, by His own hand, He leadeth me. When He leads us, we follow Him. We follow Him. We don't have to figure it all out. How'd you like to figure out your own salvation? That would freak me out. How am I going to do that? How's this screw-up going to do that? The best of people, not talking about Jesus Christ, the best of people, even the people who think they figured it out, haven't figured it out. There is none righteous, no, not one. But our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it calls in God's Word, it calls Him the chief shepherd, right? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has secured our salvation. Oh, wouldn't that build within our hearts the desire to live for Him? But in light of today, oh, what a comfort that is. Oh, what a comfort that is. In our hearts, our salvation is sure. Our sanctification, our being set apart special unto God, is sure. Eternal life is sure. When you go to different funerals and stuff, you may hear the words, "the sure and certain hope of the Lord Jesus Christ." Because it is a sure and a certain hope, and it's only as sure and certain as your trust in God to be faithful is in your own head. But it's a sure and certain hope because God said it. We have that hope. Our future is sure. It's certain. And that's the greatest comfort, that no matter what happens in the here and now, our future is certain and it's sure. We're going to close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God is the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, patience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. The Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 13, and he says to them, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where are we going to be forever? So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then this section closes out with, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is just not a comfort when someone dies. This is a comfort that we have. Remember in the beginning of this teaching, I talked about we remember and we're comforted. We trust and we're comforted. And we hope and we're comforted in our life right now. We're comforted by the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, God of comfort and God of patience. He needs a lot of patience with us, and he has it. So as we think about what a blessing it is to be a Christian and to have this belief in the heart of our hearts, there is no comfort like the comfort that we have from our God when we remember his faithfulness in past, his faithfulness right now, and his faithfulness for what he's promised in our future. And that is a comfort. Amen? Amen.